amazing God and Father, you do shine through us, and you do shine through some of the darkest seasons of our life. And Father, we are so grateful that we are so loved by you. Lord, this morning we have come here to praise and worship you for the wonderful, wonderful Father that you are to us. Lord, let us give you all the glory and praise that you deserve. And Father, I pray that you would help us to put aside the anything that is competing for our attention right now, so that we can fully focus on your face, and that we can learn to know you more, to love you more, and to serve you better. Father, I pray for us here in this room, our children in the nursery and our children downstairs, Lord, that you would touch each of our lives in such a significant way that we would be forever changed today to go out and make a difference for you. Father, I pray that you would help us to be ever mindful of the people in Haiti, and Lord, that we should not take for granted the blessings that we have, but that we should share them freely with those in need. Lord, help us to make a difference for that church in Canaan, Lord. Help us to make a significant difference for them so that they can go and make significant differences for others and ultimately change your kingdom. Lord, in these next few moments, I pray that you would use my words, but that your words be heard and not mine. That your conviction would fall on those it needs to fall on, and that your encouragement would fall on those that it needs to fall on, and Lord, that we would be drawn so close to you that we could not deny your presence in this room. Use these moments, Lord, change our hearts and change your kingdom. We ask these things in your name. Amen. I feel like I'm supposed to say, grab your Biblies. I mean, grab your Bibles. I felt like I needed to say that. I didn't feel that the first service. I don't know why I feel it in the second. So I have a quick quiz for you this morning. It should be relatively easy. The 9 o'clock passed it with flying colors, so let's find the quiz. Okay, there we go. So there are some people that have something in common aside from being deceased, and I would like you to tell me what they have in common. Those people are Marilyn Monroe, Michael Jackson, Robin Williams, Elvis Presley, and Kurt Cobain. Aside from being deceased, what do they have in common? Go ahead, answer. 9 o'clock answered safely. You guys know. What? Who said it? Overdose? There's part of it. Yeah, you got that. That's what Ryan was going to say, actually. They were actually considered to be famous, rich, have it all. They had it all according to the world's standards. But they also struggled with depression because you know what? They may have had it all, and they may have had everything that we think will make us happy, but ultimately, it wasn't enough. Now, you might have come here today expecting to hear me bash on rock and roll. And no, not really. There's some singers in there. But I like rock and roll, so if you don't think I'm a bad pastor, you can contact me later in the week and we can discuss that. But I am a product of 80s rock and roll. And honestly, I do listen to a lot of it from here and there. But I also choose carefully what I listen to because, you know, as everyone else knows, what you put in is what's going to come out in your life. Kurt Cobain should have paid more attention there. But honestly, we need to be careful about that. But I'm not going to diss on rock and roll. Rock and roll is what we're talking about is the rock and roll lifestyle. Lifestyles of the rich and famous. Having everything, fame, popularity, having all of that, and it's still not enough. Now, we all struggle. I mean, who doesn't want to be significant? Everyone wants to be significant. And as children, you might have wanted to grow up to be a music star, a rock and roll star, or maybe on television, an actor or an actress. Everyone feels like they want to do that. That would probably be fun. And the perks that go with that would be fantastic. But who really doesn't want it all? Who doesn't want the vacation homes, the nice yacht, all the money that you could possibly imagine and not have to worry about paying bills? If you wanted something, you could just have it. And you think in all of that, you would have it all. I would finally be happy. We all wrestle with the need for significance and the need to be happy. But we're trying to fill a void that only God can fill. And that leads us to the question, well, why am I here then? And we're going to find some answers. We're going to look in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11 today. And I'll give you some moments to get your electronic devices there. Ooh, pages. I hear pages turning. All right, this is what it says. I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. That also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is madness. And what does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was good for people to do under the heavens during the few days of their lives. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves that were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired male and female singers and a harem as well. The delights of a man's heart. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for all my toil. Yet, when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. Let's pray. God, I pray that you use these words from this scripture and that you would help people to hear your message today, that we would truly understand the importance of what we chase after, and that ultimately the most important thing to chase after is a relationship with you. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Point number one is wisdom. We're talking about King Solomon, that is the author of this book. Excuse me. He was the son of David and Bathsheba. He reigned from about 970 to 930 BC. And the Bible considers him to be the wisest man on earth. He was rock and roll for his time. He truly had it all. He had fame. He had fortune. He had stuff. Lots and lots of stuff. Houses, vineyards, slaves, massive flocks, silver, gold, even singers. Think about it. Back then they didn't have radios. You'd be like, come sing for me. I'm in the mood for a tune. That'd be really awesome. He had live singers, a live concert every day. Now, this is great. He had approximately 700 wives and 300 concubines. Now, the guys are sitting here thinking, oh, man, I can hardly handle one wife. Well, guess what? We can hardly handle one husband, too. It's made that way. God wanted it one-to-one. It's great wisdom on God's part. Thank you very much. And Solomon was supposed to be considered the wisest man on earth. So he had gone and he had offered 1,000 sacrifices to God at Gibeon. And God invited Solomon to ask for whatever it was that he desired. And Solomon, I believe, asked for a very noble request. You'll see it in 1 Kings 3, verses 7 and 9. It says, I am like a child who does not know his way around. Give me an understanding mind so that I can govern your people well and know right from wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great nation of yours? God granted Solomon the wisdom that he requested. The request wasn't for Solomon ultimately, a little bit for him, but it was for God's people that they would benefit from the excellent leadership that wisdom could provide. It was about Solomon a little bit. It was mostly about God's kingdom, and I like to believe that God gave him that just because, well, ultimately it was a God's kingdom request. But as you read through this, Solomon was given all the wisdom he requested, but even for him, that was not enough. That wasn't enough. And it almost sounds like if you read chapter 1 and you go into chapter 2, it sounds like he's struggling with depression. Verse 2 says, laughter is madness, and what does pleasure accomplish? And verse 3 says, I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was good for people to do under the heavens during the few days of their lives. Solomon wasn't finding it. He wasn't finding what was fulfilling him. He was leading the rock and roll life with everything his heart desired, and he wasn't finding what he needed in labor, in wine, in women, in stuff. It wasn't giving him the peace and the fulfillment that he needed. It was empty. He was bored with all of it, which leads us to point number two as well. It's just stuff. It's just stuff. Famous musician John Lennon from the Beatles was quoted as saying, as a Beatle, we had made it, and there was nothing to do. We had money, we had fame, but there was no joy. thousands of years before rock and roll, television, YouTube, and the lot, Solomon had already figured out it wasn't going to give him what he truly desired. It's not all it's cracked up to be. Arriving at fame and fortune proved to be an empty endeavor. Musician Eric Clapton, who has led a tragic life to date, struggled with a relationship, drugs, and the death of his 4-year-old son, said in an interview, "I had everything I could ever want. Even then, I was a millionaire. I had beautiful women in my life. I had cars. I had a house and an incredible solid gold career future. Yet on a daily basis, I wanted to kill myself." I want you to think about this for a moment. People spend years chasing after fame and fortune. They invest so wholly into this quest to get what they think will make them happy that they end up paying prices and suffering consequences that they could not have ever imagined. Broken relationships, loss of peace, compromising what might have once been their values, being driven by pride to be number one, making poor choices, sex, drugs. We've been talking about this in the series Stop Scratching. Can you begin to see how all of those messages in the series fit together? They all fit together. Week one, we talked about pride. Pride drives the desire for fame and fortune. Pride is the inordinate opinion of one's own life, dignity, importance, merit, or superiority. It's all about me. It's all about what I want. It's all about what I need to be a success. It's my importance, my image. I need to be number one. It's the rat race. Everyone talks about the rat race, and I have this mental image in my head. It has sound effects and everything, of zillions of rats, all these gray rats, and they're all herding in one direction, all in one direction. And ultimately, they're chasing after something that's not going to give them the fulfillment that they desire. Step out of the rat race. Selfish pride drives a desire for fame and fortune. The second week we talked about that very uncomfortable sermon on sex. Choosing the temporal, very temporal desires of the flesh to fulfill your needs. Face it, when it's done, it's done. Those few minutes of potential bliss are over before you know it. And Solomon obviously had tons of sex. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. It didn't improve his life in any way that we can see. As a matter of fact, he doesn't talk too much about that, so it must have not been all that great. Pastor John said in his sermon about sex, "You give a piece of yourself away every time you give yourself away in sex." How does that add to you as a person when you keep giving yourself away for free, selling yourself short? Now, it's important to realize that sex is not bad. It is a gift. But it is a gift that you do not re-gift and re-gift and re-gift to people and other people and other people and other people. This is the gift that you only give within the confines of marriage. That's how it turns out right. That's how it's the beautiful gift it's meant to be. And then in the last week, we talked about drugs. And 9 o'clock said we had drugs. No, we did not have drugs. We talked about drugs. And we talked about the word pharmacase, where we get pharmacology and pharmacist and all of this. And the potions and spells and the illicit use of mind-altering drugs that will not bring fulfillment in your life. Actually, it leads to destruction physically, personally, relationally, financially. And the cost is beyond measure. I found this really interesting. In 2017, there were 13,585 drug treatment facilities in the United States alone, places where you could receive drug treatment. The annual price tag for those facilities is in the neighborhood of $40 million a year. In 2017, there were 1,356 people treated at U.S. addiction treatment facilities trying to escape what they once thought was a good idea. In New York alone, there are 842 locations where you can receive drug treatment. We're second only to California, who has 1,311 places to seek treatment. On average, approximately 1,400,000 people enter treatment facilities in hope of regaining their lives from a decision that caused their lives to implode. A decision that was used to cover pain, loneliness, abuse, illness, any myriad of issues that can accompany life here on earth, because life isn't easy and we don't want to feel the pain. But the reality is that Satan makes it look good at the outset. And then this week we get rock and roll. See, they're fitting all together. Chasing after fame and fortune will not do it either. Any temporal earthly fix that we try to use to fill a void in our lives will not work. It won't work. What we need, who we need, is wired into us from the very start, and that is relationship with Jesus Christ. We were made, we were designed to be in relationship with him, but we spend so much of our lives chasing things that aren't going to bring us that peace. They just aren't. We know that there's something lacking, but we chase after the wind and worthless things that aren't going to bring us that contentment that we can only have in a relationship with Christ Jesus. Sometimes in our wisdom, our worldly wisdom, we can be really stupid and make really stupid choices. Even Solomon, he was blessed with great wisdom from God. He did stupid things too. I mean, what bright man would marry 700 wives, all right? Just put that out there. But let's look at this. All those wives that he was marrying, they were from other countries, and they were generally married off as a peace deal so that Solomon's kingdom would not attack their countries. And along with those brides came idols and idol worship and things that should not have been happening. That wasn't a good choice. Verse 11 says, "Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind, nothing was gained under the sun." Wives, stuff, things, sex, drugs, pride. It's not gaining us anything. It doesn't take care of what we feel is the missing piece. Point number three, P-E-A-C-E. Now, how many of you in this room have ever worked a jigsaw puzzle, like a zillion pieces or more, no, 1,000 pieces or more? It can be really frustrating, right? Have you ever done one like of a fall scene where like all the beauty of the trees and everything, but everything's kind of like the same hue and colors, and you cannot, for the life of you, just go by color. You're completely relying on shape recognition in order to get that puzzle completed. And it's really frustrating, and you just kind of want to shove it off the table after a while. And that's kind of, we're kind of like puzzles. We have pieces, and we attach the pieces of our lives as we go along, and God gives us more pieces. And sometimes we get to a part in our life where it's gray, or it's not quite the right color, or everything looks the same, and we don't know what to do. And we're going on shape recognition, and we don't know what piece fits in that spot. So for some, we might, well, I'm going to be prior, I'm going to be number one, I'm all about me, so I'm just going to put myself in that spot. Or drugs, let's put some drugs in that spot. Maybe that will help me not feel so empty, it'll make me feel better. Or maybe I can put some sex in that spot, that will definitely make me feel better. And all of these things, we're trying all of these things, and it can just, not just these things. There's, you could be going shopping and putting stuff there. You could be building your relationship around a person instead of God. There are lots of things that we try to fit in these spaces that are only the shape of God. So you sit there and you're jamming puzzle pieces in, and you've done this. I know you've done this. If you've done a jigsaw puzzle, you're like, that one kind of almost fits. Come on. But if you don't put the right pieces in the right spot, it's not going to turn out the way it's supposed to. The puzzle has to have the right pieces in the right spots to look right. And it's kind of that way with our lives. We try and jam other pieces into these places that where they're not meant to be. And we are a work of art. We are created in God's image. And he's working on us. And we're supposed to be this beautiful work of art when we're finished. But if we're jamming the wrong pieces in the wrong places, it's not going to turn out the way God designed it to turn out. And it's certainly not going to turn out the way that you truly, in your heart of hearts, want it to turn out. We're all like puzzles, but the right pieces need to go in the right places. And there's a masterpiece, relationship with Jesus Christ, that makes all of those voids go away. We're puzzles. God fills the void in your life that pride, sex, drugs, fame, and fortune can never fill. Relationship with God alone. Pastor and author John MacArthur has compiled a list of attitudes that he feels lead to a contented life to keep us from striving after things that will never satisfy. The first thing on that list is being thankful in all things, cultivating gratefulness over a desire to acquire, living life intentionally seeing and focusing on your blessings. We as a culture are really good at seeing what's wrong, finding something to be offended about, finding something to be angry about, finding what I don't have, what they don't have, how things aren't working the way I want. I'm listening to Marcus Dean thinking about these people in Haiti who can't even go out of their house to buy food because they could get killed. They don't have any food in their house to feed their children. They've got something wrong. What do we have wrong, really? We are so blessed. But we don't cultivate an attitude of gratefulness. We want more because it's never enough. The second thing that we need to do to be content is to learning to rest in God's providence. Growing a more intimate relationship with God that will help you better understand and trust in the truth that God has a plan for you. God has a plan for all of us. Some of the plans are bumpy and rocky, and we make some really bad choices sometimes that will get us off path. But God has a plan, and we can get back on track, and we can go where He wants us to go. But God has a plan, and we need to trust in that. The next thing we need to do is we need to be content with little. Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 6:6 says, "Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content." Are you content with little? Or are you in that rat race trying to attain more, get more, accomplish more, be more, have more? Be content with little. Number four is learning to live above life's circumstances. This one's kind of scary because it requires surrendering completely to God. Complete abandon. God, it's all yours. It takes great courage to do that, to trust that what God is allowing in your life is ultimately in His plan and for your good and for His greater kingdom purpose. Facing things courageously with an understanding that God is with you, that you are not alone. It's scary. But it's saying, okay, God, this is the mess of my life. I'm giving it to you. I know you have the strength and the power and the ability to make things right. And while you take care of that, I'm going to continue to do what you've called me to do. Because I trust in you. You're going to take care of me. The next one is reliance on God's power. If you're trusting that God is taking care of you and He's there with you, then you can certainly rely on God's power. We've all been blessed with the Holy Spirit. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Call upon Him in the day of need and He will rescue you. We can do everything in His power. And living, understanding that He is with us helps us to understand that we can do the things that He allows in our life. He can strengthen us. He can allow us to do these things. And the last one, and this one is, I think, my favorite. I cannot stress this enough. Be Great Commission minded. Become preoccupied with the well-being of others. If you are on mission for Christ, you're going to be far too occupied with taking care of the needs of others and leading others to Christ to be worried about gaining stuff and things and living a rock and roll life. God has called every single one of us to the Great Commission to go and make disciples. We are supposed to be out there making a difference, but if we're only thinking about ourselves and making a difference in our pocketbook or our significance or our fame, we aren't doing what God called us to do. And you aren't going to find satisfaction in that. You just aren't. God created us with great care and love to be in relationship with Him. That is the only thing that fills the void. If we attempt to live life without Him, we are going to feel empty. We're going to feel unfulfilled, and we're going to be dissatisfied because we're not living the way that God designed us to, in relationship with Him. If you're attempting to fill the void you feel in your life with something other than God today, I'm just going to be honest right here, it's not going to work. It isn't going to work. At some point in time, it will probably make things worse. Remember, Satan makes everything look good at the outset, but there is hope and there is help and there is direction and there is a possibility of change in Jesus Christ. If you have that void and you've tried other means to fill it, today is your opportunity to take the correct step forward. This is the opportunity to take that step forward. First, you need to admit that you've been trying to fill the void in your life with things other than God, and these things haven't worked. It's time to get honest with yourself and with God, and that's not always easy. I'm going to be honest with myself. I've been trying to put everything else in that puzzle to fill that empty space, and it's not right. And then you need to ask God for forgiveness and tell him, I really, really need you, God. I really need you. Not just so you appear to be a good person. Well, yeah, I can just say I've got this relationship with God and keep doing these horrible things over here. That's not how it works. Yeah, he'll forgive you, but that's not how it works. Get honest with yourself and really, really ask for God's help. Truly, because you really need this lasting change in your life. And it is attainable with God. Third, be ready to do the work of growing a relationship. It's not a one-and-done deal. Okay, I've got God in my life. No, it requires work. It requires definite work to make that difference in your life. You have to work with God. You need to, if you need help, you get the help. If you need counseling, you get the counseling. If you need a mentor, you get a mentor. You dig into God's word every day, not just maybe on Sundays if you feel like opening the pew Bible, but you really work hard to connect. God will meet you there. He will meet you. And the empty places in your soul, they'll be filled. They'll be filled. It might not happen instantly. Most often it requires work because God's growing us and changing us and turning us into the person that he wants us to be, the beautiful work of art, the puzzle with the complete piece, the right piece, right pieces in the right places. It is possible. Now, if you're stuck in one of these, or you're struggling with one of these, I want to encourage you to go ahead and see Pastor John today because he's not preaching, or you can come see me too. We would love to help you. We know counselors. We have resources. We have places we can direct you, and we are here for you to walk with you on these paths. It would be an honor to help. But fame and fortune isn't going to do it. It's never going to fill the empty space in your heart and soul. It said what Solomon said at the very end. It says, it's about a meaninglessly chasing after the wind where nothing will be gained under the sun. There are things to be gained, but our gains are not here. They are in eternal life in heaven with Jesus. It's time to begin living in that mindset because that's what we've been called to do. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the wisdom of Solomon and that even though all these years have passed, it continues to ring true now and that we can learn from it. Father, help us not to chase after things like chasing after the wind. Help us to chase hard after you and let our lives be changed and be a reflection of you. And that the empty spaces and the places in our hearts that feel lonely and empty, Lord, would be filled by you and your love. And Lord, that we would be able to share that with other people. Father, I pray for anyone in this room today that is struggling or hurting with these things as we close up this sermon series. I ask, Lord, you would help them to have the courage to seek the help and that you would strengthen them to see victory. Because, Lord, you are our God. You are a God of victories, victory over death, victory over the cross. And Lord, you can give us victory over our sins. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. Could we cue the video announcements, please?
Hi, North Park. It's Jason. Anna is out of town this week, so I'm going to be taking care of the kids. They are such angelic little beings, I don't think it'll be a problem at all. Anyway, the Fab Friday March Madness Sleepover is coming up on Friday, March 8th from 7 p.m. Till Saturday, March 9th at 8 a.m. It'll be grades 1 through 5. It's going to be an amazing, fun evening with games, prizes, crafts, a movie, a silly string war at midnight, all sorts of fun stuff. They're even going to be floating Lego boats in the baptismal. Registration is required, though, and space is limited. So, To register, you can pick up a form from the Welcome Center or contact Pastor Megan for more information. Her phone number is 585-968-2347, or you can email her at pastormegc@gmail.com. Hey, North Park. Still holding down the fort here with these crazy kids. Anyway, did you know that our church directory is online?
Why?
Anyway, our church directory is online and it needs updating. You should have a full page insert in the bulletin. Fill it out, get it in the offering plate, so we can update this church directory. It is email protected, so that way no one outside of North Park will see it. But you need to register. You need to register. Get approval from Marissa Hall, the office administrator. Once you're approved, you'll receive an email with all the pertinent information for logging in. I gotta go here. These crazy kids. Day two's going well. Hey, North Park. I'm hiding out from the kids. They've kind of taken over the house a little bit. This is the only safe zone left. Anyway, I wanted to let you know, this coming Ash Wednesday, March 6th, an imposition of ashes as well as communion will be available at the church from 6 to 7:30 a.m. or from 12 to 1 p.m. There's going to be no evening service this year. Also, our church is going to be participating in a media fast for Lent this year. Did you hear that?
Listen up, Chips. He isolated himself here. Entry ports are here and here. After we knock down the doors, we're going to attack from here, here, and here.
So, yes, sir.
Let's go!
Uh-oh. They're coming. I better hide.
You can hide forever!
We're not even in there! Open it up!
Come out! You can hide forever! Come on! There he is!
Got him!
Ow! Oh! No! Ow! Ow! No! North Park! Wait!
Ow! Yeah.
I'm away for the week, and Jason is home with the kids. From what I hear, he's doing just fine. It's been really great here in South Carolina, but I am looking forward to being home with my family. A message from Pastor Megan. It is a doozy. It is, please promptly pick up your kids from Power Station. So we want to do this to ensure the safety of our children and out of respect for our Power Station volunteers. Pastor Megan did ask us to tell you that if you ever want to chat with the volunteers about what your kids are learning, we definitely encourage you to do that. So we will see you soon. Bye.
Hey guys, it's Courtney. We haven't been able to pick up Jason's transmission in a while. Oh well, I'm sure he's fine. Anyway, I wanted to remind you that the usher training meeting is today at the church library at 6 p.m. If you already are an usher or would like to become one, your presence is needed at this meeting. Again, that's tonight at 6 p.m. in the church library.
Hey, North Park. Today, our church will have a love offering for the Canaan Project, which is the district's mission focus. We are asking that each family give $10. If every family in the district gives $10, then we'll meet that annual goal of $70,000, which is meant to help rebuild the town of Canaan, Haiti. To help rebuild the town and even provide a school. More information, there's a website right there on the screen. Now, it's been a rough couple of days. But Anna gets back tomorrow, and I think she'll be proud of how I handled things. I reasoned with the kids, and I think things are going to be just fine now. Happy Sunday!
Yeah, just go ahead and come on forward, and we're going to give to God his tithes and offerings. You take the black books on the outside of the pew aisles, fill those out, all pertinent details and information as well. Pass them to the middle. When it gets to the middle, pass them back to the outside. Also, drop those updated directory information sheets into the offering plate as they go by. I want to make a couple of changes to the announcements. Number one is that the ashes will be available 6 to 7:30 in the morning. Yes, on Wednesday, March 6th. Also that day, it's 12 to 1, so it's only the lunch hour, 12 to 1, not 12 to 1:30. And also, the district mission goal is $10 per person, not per household. And if you are able to do that today, we would encourage that. There's a bucket out in the foyer on one of those two small round tables where you can simply just drop your offering in there, and that'll go to the district mission. With that being said, let's pray. Oh, God, I thank you for... Well, the fact that Anna's coming back to help Jason out coming tomorrow, and I pray that you would bless their whole family as they bless us through their ministry here. I pray, Lord, that you would be with our brothers and sisters in Haiti, that you would help them to be significantly used of you to build the kingdom. And I pray, Lord, that we would not be confused, as Pastor Megan so aptly spoke today, about trying to build our own kingdoms, because it leads to meaninglessness, desperation, depression, and even suicide. Rather, help us to build your kingdom, which would take far more than our own lives and gives us something significant to constantly strive after. I pray that you'd help us to lose ourselves in the midst of serving you, and as your servants, that we would find ourselves in who we were meant to be. I ask that you bless the gift, the giving, and also the person that gets to receive the ministry made possible by these donations. I ask these things in your name, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
There is a truth older than the ages. There is a promise of things yet to come. There is one born for our salvation, Jesus. There is a light that overwhelms the darkness. There is a kingdom that forever reigns. There is freedom from the chains that bind us.
Would you rise for the benediction, God's blessing upon his children? Lord God, I pray that you would bless every single individual that has made the effort to be here today, whether it's through sickness or through dreariness of weather, or whether it was simply the habit to come and worship you amongst fellow believers. I pray that you would give them whatever it is that your heart most desires to give them. I pray, Lord God, that you would also use us as blessings in this world, and that you would give us an opportunity today, even today, to love somebody else undeservedly and unexpectedly, that we might give you the praise and the glory for it. I pray that we would be not simply recipients of your grace, mercy, and love and truth, but rather we would become conduits of it into the world that desperately needs to hear it. I pray that you would make us aware of when that opportunity is today, that we would not just blindly walk by it, but that we, like good Samaritans, would notice those in need, and that we would hear your call to us, and that upon serving and ministering to them, we would hear your whispered words, well done. I pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. You are dismissed. Go and be the church.